In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
Hey, Vikram.
What's up, doll?
How are things going?
Excellent, man. How about yourself?
You ready for this feud?
I'm ready for every feud.
This is gonna be a big one.
Why so?
Well, because the movie we are feuding today is none other than the cinematic event of the year, Marvel's Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, you seem to be like really, really in love with this one.
No, what makes you say that? I just called it a cinematic event. That it was.
I think every movie is a cinematic event, isn't it?
Oh, philosophy. Well, this one was 10 years in the making, if you count the MCU starting in about 2008. And it's about 18 movies in the making. So, safe to say, it's an event.
It is an event. And we saw this one together, if I'm not mistaken.
Did we? Did we reveal our thoughts about the movie to each other then? Because I can't remember.
Right.
I suggest you don't remember as well.
Yeah, I'll take you up on that one.
Because we still have to toss the coin. So why don't we get to that? Ready to toss this coin?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go. I'm going to be tossing the Film Feud coin. Heads means I argue for the movie and tails means I feud against. Very low stakes coin toss. Here we go. I got tails.
You did get tails, which means I got heads, and I'm so glad I did.
You actually did not get heads. That's not how that works. I tossed the coin, I got tails. You got no heads. I might not be angry right now. It just seems like I am. I got tails.
You're so upset, dude. You're so upset.
I'm against the movie. Okay. Firstly, can we just take a moment and realize that this movie should not be on the IMDb top 250.
You're so upset right now. I love it.
I'm not. Nobody can see me, so there's no reason to
I can see you.
I am
a Marvel fanboy.
Trepidatious. About this one. Because I remember watching the movie and having a
hard
decent
on.
Perhaps I had a decent time at the theater, but the fact that this movie is in the IMDb top 250 makes no sense. And let me remind you, that's what the podcast is about, whether the movie should be on the IMDb top 250. I think a second viewing might do me a lot of good in terms of figuring that out.
Yeah, try your best, man. This one's going to be so much fun for me.
You know what? I bet it's going to be fun for me as well. Should we get to it?
Let's go watch the movie.
Let's go watch the movie.
Oh my god. Dude, this is a movie based on comic books? On comic books?
Stop it.
Are you serious, dude?
Stop it. Don't even pretend, firstly.
The ultimate.
Don't ask
the ultimate fantasy, popcorn, stretch it within the realms sort of movie, dude.
Okay, you're already granting me that it's popcorn, stretch it, whatever the hell you just said.
Uh-huh.
It's not a movie.
It's a cinematic experience.
Okay. Yeah, what about the bait and switch? This is half of a movie.
Yeah, it's called part one for a reason, right?
It's actually not called part one. Boom, nailed you. Aha, you lose. No, they bait and switch. It was going to be called part one. And then Hollywood went through this phase where part one wasn't getting much love. Every time a movie was called part one.
It's not named part one, but you knew it's like the first part.
I did not. It was called Avengers Infinity War.
You thought this was going to be it.
Yeah.
Being the Marvel fanboy that you are, you thought this was going to be the only movie. I knew this wasn't going to be the only movie. It's common knowledge it wasn't.
I avoided spoilers. I had no idea. It's so disappointing when the movie ends and it's just like, oh, this is basically like intermission. Now you got to wait 2 years. Just broadly, that's like my broad overall point here.
I feel that.
Fake marketing. I feel fake like, news.
Just to jump in here, I feel like that alludes to your stupidity more than anything else. So you shouldn't highlight that more.
Civil War did it way better. Winter Soldier did it way better. I don't know what happened to the Russo brothers. They bit off more than they could chew here. They probably bit off more than anyone could chew here.
What are you talking about, dude? To be able to create a movie that not only does justice to all these characters like that have been fleshed out or semi-fleshed out for the past 10 years and like 19 films or something like that. And on top of that, to create a film with that has these layers, which is like grounded in reality and human emotion, on top of characters that have been plucked from comic books of all things, dude. These guys are...
Why do you keep looking down on comic books, firstly? Comic books have a lot to mine.
I love comic books. I'm saying I've never been a fan of the MCU or whatever the films Marvels have done, except till maybe Civil War. And then I realized that Russo brothers, they're renegades. They don't want to do it like it's been done before, because what people, worldwide audiences, not me, but what worldwide audiences love about these movies, the whole general hero falling, rising from the ashes, action, 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 action. I never was a fan of that. So I didn't like most of the MCU movies until like Civil War came out. And that made it actually feel like a movie. And these guys took it to like three different levels with this one, man.
I love Civil War and I love Winter Soldier, which are the two that the Russo brothers directed. But that doesn't mean these movies should be on the IMDb top 250. And this movie in particular, I mean, honestly, a lot of my argument before I rewatched the movie could have just been about how it shouldn't be on the list. But this is just not that good a movie, because it's a loose definition to even call it a movie. It's basically like the 19th episode in a TV show, part one of a season finale. And then it has so many unnecessary deaths that on like a very meta level, you know, won't last. Because, you know, Black Panther was a $1 billion hit, they're going to make more. Spider-Man was a big hit, they're going to make more. So you know what this is? This is a comic book event. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? You know how they have like an event comic every once every between 5 and 15 years? Sales are a little sluggish, or in general, people are just demanding crossovers, and they just go, we're just going to put everybody into one comic book event. Civil War was like that, although they dragged it over many issues. Infinity Gauntlet, which this is tangentially based on, was the same way. DC does it all the time, like Crisis on Infinite Earth. They're never good. That's the problem.
Right.
If you like a superhero and you follow a full story and an arc, comic books can have amazing themes, amazing stories. Comic book event, like event comic books, they never have that. They're just something to boost sales, to just, you know, okay,
stop,
pander.
Stop.
Pander.
Sales are sluggish. You need to go look at like some of the numbers.
I'm not saying MCU isn't killing it. I'm just saying this was part of their plan all along, right? When they first started it, this was going to be the end of phase 3 or whichever phase we're in the MCU. So that's always the plan. It was all building up to this, and unfortunately, they didn't think it through.
I fail to see your point. Can you summarize everything that you just said into like a concise point which I can understand?
Event comics suck. This is the event comic of movies.
How so?
Because it's all this crossover. Like a lot of the heroes and the characters, they don't fit in this movie. The Guardians are so useless in this movie, and the tone clashes.
Except everything relies on Gamora's story arc in this movie.
Yeah, but the tone clashes, right? Like, these guys have had two movies that are completely different in tone, thanks to James Gunn. And they're thrown into this hodgepodge, biryani meets pasta mess of, like, a movie. And it doesn't work.
And I want to eat biryani from where you've been eating a biryani.
Yeah, it's clearly like the MCU's version of that.
Just to add to that, it's just not two tones, right? There's so many movies. Each movie almost has its own tone. What Taika Waititi did with Thor and Guardians, obviously James Gunn, and Iron Man, the way it's been going. So it's Doctor Strange, of course. So it's a mashup of all of these tones.
Exactly.
These guys are visionaries, man. This is like Spielberg level as stuff with what they've done.
No,
to bring
it
all
work.
Together and not make it just jarring.
How dare you call it Spielberg level? That is an insult.
Dude, I feel like these guys are the future. Like,
oh,
even
God.
Outside of the MCU, of course, they'll be making more movies outside of the MCU, and I cannot wait to watch what those are.
I completely agree with you. This is a mashup. I mean, I can't believe 10 super highly paid writers get together and come up with this. This is like the hum saath saath hai of movies, where you just throw in a lot of like actors and characters.
Except
and
if Hum Saath Saath Hai had 10 movies or 10 years of movies before it where you fleshed out Saif Ali Khan and Salman Khan's characters, then maybe yes.
But that's what I'm saying. I like those movies. I like Thor Ragnarok. I think Taika Waititi killed it with Thor Ragnarok. Completely changed the tone. Boom. Infinity War opens. They've rendered the whole movie useless. I hate it. I hate it when sequels do that. The whole point of Thor Ragnarok is for him to save the civilization of Asgard and bring it onto the ship.
Except
movie opens.
Yeah.
Oh no, look, the movie was kind of useless. Sorry.
I mean, that movie firstly ends with Thanos' ship just coming next to Thor's ship. I didn't like Thor Ragnarok too much. I didn't like Guardians 2. I only like Guardian 1 because the humor and the way they presented that humor was very refreshing. I'll be the first to admit MCU movies, the humor is very overstated in them. It's not fun. It's very forced. This movie also had that in parts. Thor calling Rocket Rabbit all the time, like 6-7 times it happened. So it's always there, but quippy, quippy, quip, quip, quip.
That's the MCU movies in a nutshell.
Okay, quippy, 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 quip, quip, quip.
I quip, you quip, we all quip. Give me money.
Dude, man, you can't even talk about box office numbers.
This movie destroyed it. Biggest opening weekend of all time, if I'm not mistaken.
11 days to hit a billion. That's mad.
Yeah, I mean, I contributed to that as well, and I feel badly about that now.
Take my money, dude. Take my money.
The thing is, like, Ragnarok and Guardians are interesting because I don't enjoy cosmic Marvel that much. I enjoy, like, Avengers, Earth-based stuff, and this has been true of the comics as well. I wasn't the biggest comic book reader, but, you know, like, the cosmic, the Skull Kree, you know, the Thor going to his own planet and all that.
I mean, Thor's not from Earth, so all his stuff ideally should be.
Yeah, he's not a god, he's an alien, right? And so everything now in the MCU is like alien, who speak English for some reason, but anyway. So I don't enjoy that.
Jesus.
I mean, come on, dude.
Is this how this feud's going to be? I just want to
be cursed. No, it's not. I could tell you like 20 things, but anyway, okay. That was a side point. But it's a movie for children, firstly. Do you admit that at least?
No, not really. I'm not a child. I enjoyed it.
You're a man-child. It's sure. A movie for children and man-children.
All right.
Whatever and women-children, just not to leave them out.
Everyone has a child in them.
Sure. But it's also, this movie unfortunately has taken Winter Soldier, which was like a spy thriller. Awesome movie. Civil War, which was an event in itself. But because it was the first of its kind, it was just so fun to see all those people on camera and fighting and introduction of Spider-Man. Good story too, though, right? Because it was Captain America versus Iron Man. So that was the crux of the story. This is just like this is like the Fast and Furious at this point.
The Fast and Furious.
Or like Mission Impossible. One of those like set piece based movies where none of the other things matters. Right. Just matters to get to the next piece. This is like Mission Avengers 6. In fact, I like Mission Impossible 6. I shouldn't even compare to that.
Fast and Furious and Mission Impossible. So basically, your plan of action is think of franchise, insert Avengers into franchise, and make fun. I'm actually going to talk about a point which might give you a little bit of ammo. It's more along the lines of who did it better.
Yes.
And in my mind, and I know you'll wholeheartedly agree with it, it's Watchmen.
Of course Watchmen did it better.
Yes, it's...
Nothing in the MCU compares to Watchmen.
This movie comes pretty damn close to it. Are you okay? Are you feeling feverish?
I didn't see that coming. I can't believe you're reaching so high in an attempt to
win. I'll tell you why.
No, please.
Once you're done fake please, laughing, we can talk about it.
First, give me a minute. That all is right. The most, as Rocket Raccoon said in Guardians of the Galaxy 1, it's real. It's a real laugh. That was hilarious. This feud is now over. Nobody listening to this can ever take you seriously again. You just compared Avengers Infinity War to Watchmen. And you know what? The biggest travesty of all time is that Watchmen is not on the IMDb top 250.
That is surprising. And that is very, very surprising.
That just goes to show.
Goes to show what?
Everything is just flip-flopped.
Flip-flopped.
Somebody's been messing with the reality stone.
Okay, let's stop now. Why I brought up Watchmen was this theme that's present all across Watchmen, which is basically the reason the events in Watchmen happen, is because of their own form of a population bomb at the end of the day, right? Ozymandias feels that people on Earth need a sort of a fresh start. And that theme is broadly played out in the Avengers as well. That's why Thanos is doing what he's doing. So the way these movies tread on these themes, which are obviously very polarizing, they're talking about killing literally half of the people in the world or the universe. And they actually don't make it comic booky at all, even though they are derived from comic books. It's pretty impressive.
Really? They don't make it comic booky? The last battle is like heroes fighting it out against giant alien spaceships. Unlike Watchmen, which is just like a mind fuck.
I'm not talking about the climax, the fight sequences, the scale at which the movie shot. I'm only talking about these two prevalent themes in both the movies. That's why I only compared them. Obviously, that's the only point of comparison between these two movies. Otherwise, they're completely different.
Watchmen's obviously you're hurting me every time you compare it. There is no theme in this movie. The theme
Watchmen only marginally greater than Avengers Infinity War.
I'm going to slap you in the face. I'm going to reach across and just slap you in the face for saying that. There is no point of comparison in this movie. This movie, that's like comparing Jimi Hendrix to Justin Bieber.
No, it's not.
It is. This movie, Infinity War, is like a pop song. It's like super popular, 11 days to $1 billion, blah, blah, blah. But then it's not real cinema. It's not real
cinema.
Music.
Define real cinema.
Real cinema is like, you know, all those international movies that I watch to impress people. That's real cinema. No, I'm kidding. I mean, like, Winter Soldier is a good standalone movie.
I didn't like the Winter Soldier. I don't know why you keep talking about it.
Winter Soldier is widely considered one of the best MCU movies.
Considered or not, I like Civil War. I didn't like Winter Soldier that much. And I love this movie.
But this movie is, firstly, it's not standalone at all. It's very unique in that way, right? Like, they're not even trying. It's like the 19th or 18th entry in the MCU. And killing half the heroes in this movie was just like when they kill Superman in Batman versus Superman. Equally empty and meaningless, and you know they're going to come back, and it's just unnecessary cliffhanger.
You were talking about this earlier in terms of, oh, we know they're coming back. Obviously, they're coming back. They made it. It's no secret that they're making. They've already sanctioned a new Spider-Man movie, a new Black Panther movie, so you know those characters are coming back.
Exactly.
It only makes me curious in terms of how they're going to come back in part two. Like, what's the story there? How are they going to stitch it together? I can't wait to watch that.
So you're admitting that when they kill off a character, the only thing you're curious about is how they're going to bring them back. AKA,
everyone
Superman.
Knows. The Russo brothers themselves have said they're coming back. It's not a secret that, oh, they're not coming back. Oh, will they? It's never.
Forget what the Russo brothers have said. I mean, when you're watching the movie, the whole crux of the finale is that they die, right? That's the heavy hitting thing.
No, the crux of the finale is not the superheroes dying, but half of the population of the universe dying.
This is the problem, man. This is the problem of introducing time travel in a movie, which I guess started with Doctor Strange in the MCU. As soon as you do that, you are approaching the whole Harry Potter Prisoner of Azkaban death trap. Once there is time travel in the movie, in the universe that you're trying to create with the movie, there is no coming back. It's never going to be that good. I mean, Doctor Strange should go kill Hitler, you know? And he should also go back to when Thanos was a baby and just kill him. Like, there is no rule that tells you how the time turner or whatever, what's it called? The time stone? The eye of Agamotto or whatever? He should just use that. After saying that he shouldn't use it in Doctor Strange, he used it pretty freely to go back like 20 minutes. So that's it. It just renders the whole plot irrelevant.
He can't just do that. He can't just go 40 years back, kill Hitler and come back here. He can reverse an instance of time or a period of time when it happens. He can't just like be like, oh, Hitler was a bad guy. Let me just go kill him. Pop, kill, pop,
no, but
he's back.
That's all we know. All we know is that he can at least reverse time the way he did at the end of his own movie when he reversed like the destruction of Hong Kong.
So that was one instance where he reversed it.
That's my point. There are
if he
no
wanted
rules.
To kill Hitler, he'll have to reverse the all of 40 years till when Hitler's there.
There are no rules, and some might say it might be worth it, but let's not get political. There are no rules. That's my point. There are no rules. Once you add time travel, it's over. Like all these other, this is exactly why Rick and Morty stays away from time travel. They only keep it interdimensional, and sometimes they very well refer to the fact that they stay away from time travel. Like, Rick goes and gets a pizza instantaneously, and he's like, by the way, that wasn't time travel. There was somebody else's pizza lying on the counter. It's because Dan Harmon does not want to get into time travel. He feels like it breaks everything. Same thing happened here.
This movie doesn't show time travel as much. I don't know why you're alluding to that.
What are you talking about? It shows Doctor Strange looking at 14 million
he
possibilities.
Can see events. Yeah, he can see events. He can't influence them. Otherwise, he would have done it.
He does influence them. That's why he supposedly gives up the time stone to save Tony, right? That's influence.
But that's letting an event unfold. So he has 14 million events that he sees. He knows that one works. So he's making sure the actions he takes are towards that one. But there, he's not going ahead in time and he's not time traveling. He's viewing. There's a difference. He's not Terminator where he just goes like 40 years of 100 years in the
There's different kinds of time. This is it's somewhere between Hold the Door, Hodor and Terminator. It's somewhere in between.
You can just say whatever and it'll fit here because there is no types of time travel firstly.
Of course there are. There are types of time travel.
Please elucidate.
Have you seen Primer?
Yes.
The best time travel movie of all time. In that, they time travel by putting themselves into a machine, staying there for 6 hours and coming out at the same time that they entered the machine. That's one type of time travel.
Okay.
Another one is Hermione with the time turner, where she actually turns back time. Another one is Terminator. I could go on and on. You know you shouldn't have asked for this.
It's pointless. You're not even proving anything. You're not stating anything about this movie particularly. Just babbling on about time travel.
This
or your understanding of it.
It's like a Salman Khan movie.
It's a Salman Khan movie.
Meets CGI from Industrial Light and Magic. Meets the time turner. Meets other random action movie tropes.
I'm a fan, bro. I don't know what you're talking about. These guys are so good, dude. The Russo brothers.
Want to ask you one question.
Only?
Only.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You dare not ask me anything else.
Why is Gamora?
why is Gamora?
I did crack up when that was said. Some of the quips, I mean, the Marvel quips usually work for me. I would say that Marvel quips have about like a 50% ratio of hit and miss. Would that be fair?
No.
No, don't try to argue for this movie. What about in general? Across the MCU.
I actually think they have a lower ratio of hitting.
Okay, great.
And except for Guardians 1.
Guardians 1
had a positive ratio, in my opinion.
I felt Ragnarok had a bit of a positive ratio.
I don't know. I thought Ragnarok was like a little overdone in terms
of... It was overdone because it was trying to be a comedy movie. So they went pretty hard. But I thought the ratio was pretty good. Probably Deadpool, though it's not an MCU movie, obviously has a good ratio. This one, not so much. Why is Gamora work? But a lot of it was just shoehorned. You could tell it was shoehorned. Like all the Drax stuff, apart from why is Gamora, is... Like the part where he says, I can move so swiftly that nobody can see me.
Yeah.
That's just dumb. That's just them trying to be funny.
Dude, everything Batista does since Guardians 1 just cracks me up every time.
Dude, okay, the problem in Ragnarok...
That guy's like a WrestleMania champion and now look at him, dude. He's like cracking me up. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, The Rock does pretty fine too. Like, that's fine. Wrestlers have decent careers in comedy
like,
and movies.
How long have you been there? He's like, 7 hours or some shit like that.
I can't believe you're the man-child. That's the problem. The thing is... Like, Ragnarok did this thing which it got a lot of heat for, which is where it undercut every moment of tension with a joke. And this movie, unfortunately, in some moments, chose to do the same. And that's just something they shouldn't have taken from Ragnarok.
I agree. I actually agree about that. The humor in this movie sometimes is not well-placed. Especially, do you remember that one scene where Rocket and Thor are having a pretty strong and deep exchange about family, life, and stuff like that?
Yeah, Thor is the best character in this movie, and that... scene really fleshes them out.
And then immediately, like, to cut the tension out, they turn it into a joke and, like, stuff like that. So they do that all the time. I think it's become an MCU thing where they use humor as a crutch almost always. So I'm not a fan of that, but just this movie, all these characters, just obviously watching them come together, not feeling forced. I wouldn't mind giving that any negative points there. Just, it's fine, man.
I will also concede one thing. Thor's arc in this movie is pretty interesting. And the reason it's interesting is because he ends up being sort of on this hero's journey because he loses it all in the first scene. And then he powers up and he goes through his trials and then he like takes a star to the face at some point to create a hammer and whatnot.
I agree, dude. I think Thor and Thanos were the strongest characters in this movie.
Yeah, which is the interesting part. But I think his hero's journey is subverted because it ends with him failing. Whereas if Thor was the hero of this movie and it was just one part movie, he would have succeeded at the end. Like, this movie could have ended if they just gave Thor a little extra attention and then he overcame some like real like ma mujhe shakti de ma moment and just chopped Thanos' arm off. That's it. End of movie. No need for part two. Solid story.
That's not how movies work. You can't just be convenient like, oh, he should have done that or for ye movie aise ho jati.
No, that's my
All
point.
All movies are defeated then with that logic.
No, movies have formulas for a reason. And the point is, like, Thor's hero's journey would have been completed if he'd done that. If that was a movie, trust me, you would have felt the same way that you feel in any other movie which uses a hero's journey. Instead, turns out it was Thanos' sort of like villain's journey all along. So, I will concede. Thor was well fleshed out in this movie. Even better than Ragnarok, which turned him into a joke. And he loses it all and he comes back. And he still doesn't win. I found that interesting.
You know what? Now that we're talking about Thor specifically, why don't we just take out a little time and talk about each of these characters in this movie? There was this really interesting video that the Russo brothers did where they spoke about the movie only from the point of view of all of these characters and what those characters were going through, what reasons they had about showing them a certain way and stuff like that. So I found that pretty interesting and very informative. And I think that influenced a little bit about how much more I like this movie after the second viewing especially. So let's just jump into that.
Sure, I don't mind. While we're on Thor in that case, can we just talk about the opening scene? Firstly, I mean, we can talk about each character. Some of them are not as important as the other. And I group Loki into the ones that are not important, although people like to pretend that he is. He dies. No one cares. Maybe he's not dead.
I mean, they'd probably love for you to think that he's not dead because of the past history of Loki's character dying and coming back. But this one
like
kind of...
Like four times, by the way.
Yeah, this one kind of seemed final, though, so...
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of... I like Tom Hiddleston. I'm not a fan of Loki, the character that they've made in the MCU. So, I'm kind of glad
he was
the
best villain in Marvel, supposedly, until Thanos. But I'm guessing we'll get to Thanos. So, while we're talking about Thor and his merry group of friends... Heimdall, good old Idris Elba.
Thor's best friend, apparently.
Yeah, I know. He mentions that randomly in the movie. I had no idea. And what does Heimdall decide in his last breath? To send Hulk back to Earth and somehow make him land exactly where Doctor Strange is. Okay, great comic book movie. Why not send Thor? Why is he sending Hulk at all? How does he even know Hulk?
You can assign like 1,000 reasons why he did that.
Why would he save Hulk?
Time, saving time, whatever's happening, the only thing he could do.
Why would he save Hulk?
He's
and not
half
Thor?
Dead. He can't reach Thor. Whatever, man. How does all of this matter? It doesn't matter at all. Typical. Him reaching Doctor Strange exactly. Yeah, no shit. He can do that. He can send people where they're supposed to go. So whatever.
Typical fanboy. Just forgive every fault. Just follow your cult leader.
This is not even a fault.
Kevin Feige being your cult leader. And you're just going to excuse anything that's bad and just love anything that's good. This was a big issue. But okay, fine. We'll get
this
back to
this. This is not a big issue. This is the stupidest nitpick I've heard you do on Film Feud in general.
Okay, fine. Thor. I already conceded
his
arc.
I like the haircut.
That's a Ragnarok thing.
Yeah, I like it.
Do you like it when he jokingly tells Captain America in the middle of the big finale? He's like, oh, yeah, you got a haircut. And then he says, oh, I see you copied my beard.
I didn't like the particular dialogues used for that exchange, but I like that they had an exchange in that moment. That was nice.
It's a very Marvel thing to do, right? Okay, now, I already conceded the arc. Can I just say, I was so disappointed that when Thor, once again, magically lands on Earth, I don't know where, they summoned the Bifrost again, lands on Earth. Badass scene, because he's returned, you think he's the savior, this is all part of the arc that you think he's having, takes his new hammer, goes into the sky, and the Immigrant Song wasn't playing. They were playing the shitty Avengers overused theme.
Led Zeppelin's expensive, man. You don't know what...
This is a $400 million movie.
It is what it is.
It would have been so good. It would have redeemed like...
Every scene in
so
every
much.
Movie, in every possible whatever arc would be enhanced if Immigrant Song plays behind
That's
it.
That's not true. That one scene, especially because it mirrored Ragnarok, it was Thor's coming to just glory... Oh my god, that scene left an immigrant-shaped hole in my heart.
I'll also tell you why that song wouldn't work for that scene. Is because, do you remember that scene clearly?
I do.
He comes back and then, I know exactly what point you're talking about where the Immigrant Song should play. It's when he jumps up in the air and everything turns blue and his eyes are like full of lightning.
Just like Ragnarok.
Yeah, so that scene actually is so short that to have the Immigrant Song loop behind it in the background would not work out because it would be over before
the... Of course
the
it would. I was imagining it. I was imagining it working out. It left the hole.
You don't know music.
Boom.
No.
Boom. Everybody destroyed. Boom.
No, then the song's over. It doesn't work that way. The song doesn't have the effect. The song has to go for at least 10-15 seconds for it to have the effect.
They wouldn't have the exact same footage if they had the song, but the song is the key. You're agreeing with me, is the point.
I'm not. I'm agreeing with just the fact that how good the song is, and it can just work with absolutely every action sequence out there, but to not have that song for that one sequence is... Why are we talking about this again?
Okay, fine. Can we move on? Because we can't spend so much
Please,
time on
let's
every
move
character.
On. I don't know. What are you talking about,
Because
dude?
There are like 1,900 characters in this movie. It's overcrowded. Not everybody gets an arc. Only Thor gets an arc. So let's move on to the shitty ones. You want to pick one? Pick them out of a hat. I don't care.
I guess Hulk.
What a bitch. What a little bitch. Gets his ass handed to him.
I mean, at a cosmic, like... God level. Yes,
talk about an arc, dude. Like, it's the opposite of Thor, basically. Got the ass handed to him. Came up the rest of the movie.
I was actually glad that we got to see so much of Mark Ruffalo.
Ew, I thought he did a terrible job acting in this movie. Most of the time, he has his face tilted like this. And he's just either spouting some exposition or just being like, huh? There's an Ant-Man and a Spider-Man? Huh? We broke up like the Beatles? Huh? He just has that one dumb expression. Huh? What, Tony? Huh? Huh? And then after that, he's like the loser who can't really operate the Iron Man, like, Hulkbuster suit. So then it's just like, come on, come on, come on, Hulk, come on, come on, come on. Oh my god.
Can you do that huh again, please?
Huh? There are 6 Infinity Stones, huh? I've seen it, Tony. I've seen it. Thanos is coming no matter what, huh?
Oh man, that was so much fun. Huh? I don't even want to talk about Hulk anymore. I think that was just like hilarious.
It's done. There's nothing to talk about. He's a little bitch. Little bitch.
You missed everything that they were trying to shoot for, man.
What were they trying to shoot for? Please do explain.
They showed the human side of Hulk. They showed that they're actually two characters. That Dr. Bruce Banner and Hulk are actually two different, completely polarizing individuals. And how they're all living together in this one body. The Russo brothers spoke about this in that video I told you about. And it actually sheds a lot more light in terms of what Banner was actually going through then. And it's basically along the lines of how the Hulk is always disappointed that when Banner is put in a really bad situation, a really shitty situation, he's always dependent on the Hulk to sort of rescue him out of it, and he never does anything about it.
Yeah, because it's the Hulk, and Banner is a puny human, remember?
And this is also, imagine the Hulk being the primary driving force of that body for the better part of 2 or 3 years, right? The entire course of Ragnarok or something. Banner wasn't even a part of it. So Hulk is done. Basically, it's Hulk saying that I'm not coming out, not because...
I got beaten up?
No, not because he's that scared of Thanos or anything like that, but because he's done with how Banner uses Hulk, and he's like, you take care of yourself, man. And Banner actually ends up taking care of himself with that Iron Man suit. So I think it came together pretty well. It's just that your impression right now, I can't get over it.
Okay.
Even though he never does that, but hilarious.
He always has a slanted face.
I think he's a great actor, just generally. Mark Ruffalo, I think he's really, really good.
Yeah, he's good in Spotlight. Spotlight, this movie, is not my friend.
It is not. I actually loved him in Shutter Island, side note. Do you remember that movie?
Can we move on to the next character before we get distracted?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Speaking of green characters, Gamora. She is the most, quote, fierce woman in the galaxy, unquote. Are you effing kidding me? She would probably lose to Black Widow in a fight.
What makes you say that?
Everything that they've ever shown Gamora do. What is she capable of? Martial arts barely. She's like a green belt. No pun intended on the color of her skin.
Just because they don't show any of her backstories, especially during the time she spent with Thanos by his side, destroying the world and becoming the fiercest woman in the galaxy, doesn't mean that she's not.
Are you actually saying that she is supposedly the fiercest woman in the galaxy?
If Thanos says she is, then she has to be. It's just, no, we haven't seen her in wars and battle.
We've seen her up against the wall, about to die, and the most she can do is like kick and punch and be green and be hot.
What's your point? I don't get it. You're hating on her because she's green.
No, I'm hating on her because she's called the fierce woman in the galaxy, and it's like her character and what she does in any movie doesn't live up to it at all. She's not the most fierce woman in the galaxy. She might be the dumbest woman in the galaxy. She does so many dumb things in this movie. Why does she even go to Thanos when she has universe-ending information? Why didn't she go with the other guys to, like, with Thor?
Because they wanted to go to Thanos to stop him.
And she chose to go with them. How would she have stopped him?
She can try. That's all she can do.
You think she buys into the fact that she's the most fierce woman in the galaxy? She actually believes she could stop him?
Probably, man. We haven't seen her fight. Like, she got that title of fiercest woman in the galaxy when she was...
dumbest woman in the galaxy, we will call it.
And okay, her arc in this movie was more emotional than based on her physical strength or anything like that. So that's what they show throughout this movie. The whole Soul Stone scene where she's actually mocking her.
That scene is so dumb. Why is she mocking him? Like, first she happens to be there conveniently when the Soul Stone needs a sacrifice. It's clearly set up that she's going to be the one to be sacrificed. And then she starts mocking him that, oh, you will fail because you didn't love me. Turns out
you will fail because you don't love anybody. And you're supposed to sacrifice someone you love. So she's like, you don't love anyone, you're dead.
And turns out Thanos is capable of love after all, and
Thanos,
he cared.
Thanos has some layers, dude.
And the fact that she asked Peter Quill to kill her, make him promise, and then he comes out and they're having a convenient conversation with Thanos holding her before Thanos turns into bubbles. That whole sequence was so dumb. All because Gamora was dumb.
I don't know what you're on about, man. I think Gamora's arc in this movie was pretty well put together. And the fact that we saw a lot of Gamora and Thanos' interaction and how it heavily influences Thanos' character, I really liked it. And that ends up affecting Peter Quill in such a strong way. He just goes crazy, and like, they almost have Thanos. They're almost taking the gauntlet off his hand, and he just couldn't hold his rage together.
Oh my god, so dumb. Are you going to defend Star-Lord in that scene?
I know there was a lot of hate in the internet for that scene.
A lot of hate, yeah.
Because they're like, oh, you know, like that everything could have ended and stuff like that. But it just, all he cares about is Gamora. He doesn't care about anyone around him, anything else, whatever's happening. All he cares about is Gamora, and Gamora's gone because of that guy. So obviously he's going to go batshit crazy on him.
Okay, these aren't real people, right? So somebody's writing this. So making that writing the fulcrum, the thing that actually turns the tide in the villain's favor, is so stupid. And that whole sequence when it's happening, like, Mantis is on top of him, right? And she's calming him down. Mantis used to put Ego, the living planet, like a god, what Peter Quill is 50% of, to sleep. And when she's doing it to Thanos, Thanos is like, ugh, my Gamora. It's just such a bad scene.
Mantis used to put Ego to sleep because Ego willingly let her do it, firstly. That makes a big difference.
But that scene where conveniently, it's like, you know, when in Bollywood movies and sometimes Hollywood movies like The Prestige, when the villain is shot and he's dying and he's just like, and then he like manages to say everything he wants to say. So in this, like, Thanos is being calmed down. Those people are trying to pull off the glove. By the way, they should chop his arm off. They have lasers. Doctor Strange has a portal creating thing. Chop his bloody arm off, Jesus. Anyway, no, they're trying to physically pull it off, and Peter Quill is like, where's Gamora? And he's like, my Gamora. Such a stupid, that scene pissed me, that was my breaking point in the whole movie. And I was actually enjoying that fight on Titan until that scene.
I think you're making it too big a thing. I understand the hatred he got, especially from fans, in terms of them alluding to the fact that everything could have ended in that scene. Particularly, it had the potential to end Thanos's whatever reign, I guess it was. But I completely understand why Quill reacted the way he did. Because it's very evident in terms of not just this movie, but everything Guardians 1 and Guardians 2 had, was that that's all he cares about. So the way for him to react that way is, it feels fine. I don't mind that at all. Thanos being able to respond, I don't see why that's a point as well. Because firstly, he's a Titan. And on top of that, he has all those Infinity Stones. So that adds to his power. So he's actually a very, very powerful being at that point of time. To be able to suppress him the way Mantis does, and then obviously these guys holding him down and stuff like that, obviously he's super strong. So him being slightly conscious in that situation is whatever, man. It's there.
Like I said earlier, man, Star-Lord was just not a fit for this movie. And you know what we haven't brought up is that there are too many quippy, similar characters in this movie. All the Marvel heroes tend to be similar. Doctor Strange, quippy, you know, guy, like self-made magic wizard. Iron Man.
Yeah, Peter Quill. They do alphas, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and Thor. And they all play off each other in a very similar way. Because it's kind of like the same writers coming up with it. It's like not different people's creations interacting with each other interestingly. It's like the same set of writers making them say a similar thing. It just strikes a flat tone.
I see the similarities between Iron Man and Doctor Strange for sure. They're alphas, they're human beings
their quippy moment right at the start of the movie.
And it's because they also end up spending a lot of time in the movie together. So that interaction is also, I think it's very well done in terms of, it's not siding with one person too much. It's not overbearing in terms of just the sheer ego on the screen. Thor, on the other hand, I feel like he's just above all of this. He's like a different level of alpha.
He also lost a lot in this movie, so I guess he's changed. Also, Doctor Strange and Iron Man both have like weird facial hair. Like those guys are kind of like the same person in the MCU. And then Peter Quill and Iron Man have those moments. Let's just talk about Iron Man, right? His whole thing with Pepper, that he's about to have a kid, that is so contrived, man. Oh, now he's about to have a baby or trying to have a baby and he gets taken up in space.
Well, that's like blink and miss scene, dude. Like it doesn't even have any overall effect on the movie.
They set the stakes, you know, they try to like emotionally manipulate you, and clearly it worked on you since it was subconscious for you.
Blink and miss, they literally talk about it for 10 seconds.
Okay, forget even Iron Man, you know, the character or whatever his arc is, I actually couldn't care less. His suits are getting more and more ridiculous in every movie.
I love it, dude.
You love the suit in this movie?
I love his suit. I love Spider-Man's suit. Oh my God.
Okay, you know what? I will concede the Spider-Man suit. The Iron Spider suit is awesome.
Oh my God, dude. I'm so glad I didn't watch a trailer. I feel like they must have shown it in one of the trailers. I'm sure they would have. I didn't watch a single trailer. And then when it happens on that ship in space, I was like, what?
But the Iron Spider suit actually made some sense. It was in line with the previous movies. Iron Man's suit can just do anything. He's basically just like creating whatever you... It literally becomes a hoodie. His hoodie becomes a suit. His suit reverse turns into a hoodie. And
he's the smartest man.
He's like Rick, basically, from Rick and Morty at this point.
So obviously, everything's going to evolve. Next Avengers movie, probably better suit. Next Iron Man movie.
Where can the suit go? His suit literally converts both his legs into one thruster. Rocket thruster. Yeah.
It just goes to show how good the imagination of these guys is. Like, the writers are so good. They're so smart.
He loses his helmet. The back of his suit creates a new helmet.
Contingency plan.
What a guy.
And it'll keep getting better. Trust me. It'll keep getting better. These guys will keep thinking of the most cutting-edge things they can think of. It's brilliant. I think these guys are visionaries, man.
This is not cutting-edge. Don't try to pretend it has any basis in reality. All the power-ups in this movie actually piss me off. And I'm very mindful of this. Winter Soldier, Captain America got a power-up. It was his second movie and suddenly he could fall from like two-story buildings and not hurt himself. Civil War, he got a huge power-up. He could now fall from 20-story buildings, not hurt himself, run as fast as cars.
It hadn't been pushed. His limits are getting pushed.
This
and
is
he's
standard.
Understanding more and more in terms of what he's capable of.
Whatever the excuse is, every movie is tend to have power-ups like this.
But that's how it happens. How does he know that he can jump off a building? He doesn't get a ledger or a manual that you're Captain America, 30 feet is your limit. If you go up, then your bones will break. That's not how it happens. So he's getting his limits pushed and he's finding out that he can jump off a building and still walk or limp away.
If I woke up and one day I was Captain America, the first thing I would do is test the limit of my powers.
So you'll jump off a building?
Just keep jumping off
smart
building
man,
and see where you
man.
End up. Who else gets powered up? Black Panther, they didn't know he was going to be so big. So he actually gets powered down, which I found hilarious. Vision gets powered down for the sake of the story. Vision? Oh my god, dude. These two like Chomus show up, who are basically like the Steppenwolf to Thanos' dark side. Like, you know, all the like little henchmen he sends.
Don't bring DC into this.
Just I can't help it. All of them look like Steppenwolf, don't they?
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
I don't want to say it, but it's like one of those typical race thingies that people use in today's world. Every green guy looks the same. Every alien looks the same.
They all look like video game cut characters. But anyway, Vision can't beat them. Vision plus Scarlet Witch can't beat them when they get like owned in Europe by them. And then who shows up to rescue them? Captain America, Falcon. I mean, who really cares about Falcon anymore? And Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
There's basically
these guys. It's like those guys can only be defeated hand to hand, man. They can't be defeated with like magic whoosh whooshes.
Firstly, the fact that Scarlett Johansson can defeat someone, or Black Widow can defeat someone who Vision can't, is the dumbest power down ever.
Vision just like flies around with his like bzz, bzz. These guys need hand to hand, bro, hand to hand. That's why Captain America and Scarlett Johansson like Muay Thai Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and then, dude.
You know, the bzz, bzz, laser thing is a great point, because it's very unfortunate, especially when it comes to a Russo Brothers movie, that's what the action has devolved to in this movie. I like the scene on Titan. And yet, if you think about it, it's just like laser on laser. In the middle, Spider-Man's getting some good licks in. In Winter Soldier and Civil War, it was all like hand-to-hand badass. Very little use of those like typical shaky cam quick cuts. All the action in this movie is all like laser fight, superhero power, flying fight.
But understand the scale of the fights, man. It's not on Earth with mostly humans fighting each other. It's
actually
gods.
Exactly that in the finale.
No, has aliens, it has Thanos, it has all these people who are not human beings, who have all of these powers. So you can't expect them not to use it because Winter Soldier had only hand-to-hand combat or something like that. That makes no sense.
It makes it a CGI fest. It makes it like the finale of Wonder Woman.
Very well done CGI.
Another DC reference to show how shit this movie is.
Wonder Woman? Did you just say Wonder Woman?
Third act of Wonder Woman.
I think the CGI was very well done. Like, look at Thanos, man. He's a blue-looking thumb-head dude, but
with they a still, nutsack for a chin, which I'm happy to say they actually call out in the movie, because otherwise I would have been thinking about it forever.
I agree, dude. The fact that they made that weird-looking thumb blue dude just be the character that he was, that was my first impression when I saw him. I was like, who the hell is this? Again, not having seen any trailer, I think I saw like an image of Thanos, like Josh Brolin as Thanos. Firstly, Josh Brolin. Props.
So I feel like we've reached the part where we talk about Thanos.
Yes, we are already talking about Thanos.
Okay, so you like his look. I didn't mind his look. Have you seen all the hot daddy Thanos memes going around, by the way?
No, I have not.
Because he has that look where it's just like this, you know, big bulky guy that very often gay people tend to like. There's like a subcategory of like a genre of people that like popular in the gay community. And he qualifies, apparently. Thanos qualifies. So anyway, he's been getting a lot of love for his portrayal and his look.
Oh, okay.
Just saying.
Thanks for that. I'm just trying to say that, you know, that's that character, which is the way he looks and the supposed powers he has. That's something that's straight out of a comic book, right? And it is straight out of a comic book. But to be able to just add so many layers of a character to that, where it starts feeling like an actually fleshed out movie character and not a comic book character brought to life, there's a big difference between that, right? And these guys were able to pull that off. And to be able to pull that off with Thanos, who's hands down the most important character in this movie, just, it would have been make or break, and they did it. They did such a good job at it.
This is Thanos' movie, right? Because it's part one of the full movie. This part belongs to Thanos. Thanos wins at the end. This is Thanos' movie through and through. He goes on a mission and he completes it. That's the only reason why you think this is so fascinating, is because they actually bothered to focus on the villain and they actually made him win again because it's part one. What doesn't make sense, and you compared him to his comic version, his comic book version's intentions are actually more maniacal. Basically, he wants to impress this cosmic version of Death. Again, I don't like cosmic Marvel for a reason. Death is a character in the cosmos, and Marvel and Thanos is in love with her. So he just wants to create as much destruction as he can to impress Death. Now that is psychotic and stupid, but at least it's a fascinating motivation that actually justifies killing half the universe.
I didn't know about that, and ever since you just told me right now, I actually feel that what they did with this movie and the reasons they just gave Thanos for what he was doing, why he was doing and all of that, I think it was a much stronger character in the movie.
It makes no sense. He has all the Infinity Stones. He should create resources. What about planets that have like 200 people that are just doing fine? Killing half of them, how does that help? What about planets that are just
They've not clearly laid out who gets killed, how they get killed, what the template of this killing is.
Are you saying his plan makes sense?
I'm not saying his plan makes sense. I'm just saying that to be shown as a ruthless killer, right, from the get-go, and then for his story to unfold, you know, like the reveal that he actually loves Gamora, he wants civilization to survive. That's the biggest reason he's doing it, and not ruin itself, sort of like what Ozymandias was doing. All of that just comes together so brilliantly by the end of it.
How dare you once again compare to Watchmen? Ozymandias was doing it during the Cold War.
I'm not talking about what they were doing specifically in each of these movies. I'm only talking about this theme of killing off a mass amount of people.
But it's not the same at all. Ozymandias thought that an alien or Dr. Manhattan in the movie would make a common enemy that would unite a Cold War. It was political.
Right.
His plan, Thanos' plan, is the dumbest thing ever. He just thinks getting rid of half the population will make a difference. And for some reason, you bought into this. This makes no sense. This is like the biggest suspension of disbelief at all, that somebody would be so stupid to actually believe this and go through with it. This guy needs to read some like economics papers and calm the hell down.
Economics papers.
Also, he has like 6 Infinity Stones. He can use them to create resources. You saw how he was bending reality. Why doesn't he do something with that? I mean, he had some bad experience on Titan where maybe getting rid of half the population would have solved stuff. But this just makes no sense. The universe is a big place.
We don't know what exactly the power of the Infinity Stones is, right? It's not laid out in terms of you can do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can do that. So
come on, dude.
Creating resources, i.e. creating planets with agriculture and food and population for enough resources for people to survive, I think that's a stupid plan. It's just shoehorned into a solution that you think might work in this situation. So
I'm not offering any solutions. I'm just saying his proposition is stupid. I can't believe you're not on
board. His proposition is stupid. That is why he's the antagonist of this movie. He's not the hero of this movie. He's not the leader of this movie. He's the antagonist.
Yeah, but you have to buy into his premise.
To be able to relate to the antagonist, or just see the suffering that the antagonist is going through. That's the true beauty of what these guys did, right?
I saw no suffering. He gave one flashback about how Titan used to be. By the way, a thriving civilization existed on Titan, a moon of Jupiter. And we just never bothered pointing out our telescopes towards it, and never realizing that aliens existed on Titan within our solar system.
Yeah, there's no Albert Einstein or Isaac Newton or whoever. I can't even name any astrologer right now. It is not real life.
Wait a minute. So much wrong with what you just said. Neither of those two great minds were A, related to telescopes, and B, astrologers. Astrologers.
Point being that you can't just be like, oh, why didn't like these guys turn their telescope to Saturn's moon or Jupiter's moon or whatever it is.
Astrologers write horoscopes. Astronomers look at planets. Jesus.
Yeah, done. My point is that just whatever. Yeah, it's a comic book, man. Like you have to give it that much leeway. Yeah, it is a comic book.
Also, you can take it very seriously, and then suddenly you have to give it a lot of leeway. I'm just saying, like, some things are stupid and they take you out.
What do you want in life, man?
I want a good, coherent movie that actually makes sense, that actually focuses on characters, that doesn't have Doctor Strange giving 3D presentations as part of his magic powers to actually give the exposition for all the stones. What do
you
want to give?
Achha, you tell us that.
Figure out a good way to give exposition, man. You can't just have Doctor Strange magically giving a 3D presentation. It's so dumb. And also, Tony Stark watches this presentation, finds out wizards exist, and all he cares about is quipping and his alpha status. Dude, you just found out wizards exist. What's wrong with you?
He's seen enough in his 18 movie
arc.
He's
the greatest mind on the planet, supposedly. He just found out this new information that wizard people can teleport. Like, it just renders his stupid like nuclear power generator worthless. This guy's a wizard. He's a wizard. Come on. Aren't you a little bit curious? Or you just go, oh, hey, he's a wizard. And then you move on.
Me? I'm very curious. Tony Stark? Probably not. He's seen enough. He's seen aliens. He's gone through wormholes.
What a fanboy you are, dude.
I mean, this movie made me a fanboy. I was actually nowhere close to being a fanboy. And this movie just turned me, man.
Also, special shout out to Peter Dinklage for accepting the role of playing a dwarf. even though he's like 10 times bigger than a dwarf, but he's still a dwarf. Come on, Peter. I thought you were past that. Come on, Tyrion. Play at least Tyrion-level characters.
I'm just glad he was a part of this movie because of the outcome of his interaction with Thor, i.e. that excellent hammer, that excellent-looking hammer with the twig handle thingamajig.
Yeah, Groot's arm.
Groot's arm, yeah.
Groot, by the way, not worth discussing as a character at all since he doesn't have a role. But can we just talk
puberty,
about...
Puberty, that's all I have to say about that
puberty,
one.
Puberty, yeah. But can we just talk about how he's like a teenage murderer? Like he just goes around murdering people once he's on Earth.
I have a question about Groot, which I don't understand. Once he dies or like becomes a sapling or whatever, is he a different person? Or is he still Groot?
No, that's a different Groot. Groot from Guardians 1 is dead. He sacrificed himself.
So it's a
himself.
Different character then. It's a different person with a different personality and all of that, right?
Yeah, it's not like a... he's not even a clone. He's like an offspring.
Got it.
Oh man, do we have any characters left? I'm so bored. Scarlet Witch, she was useless. Who else? Let's just knock a few out. Anybody left?
Spider-Man, dude. I love that guy.
Spider-Man.
I actually love that actor, man. I think he's like the perfect actor for Spider-Man.
He's good in his own movies, for sure. I mean, here he was just kind of not given any due because obviously there's too many characters.
No, man. I think the way they took forward him and Tony Stark's interaction from Spider-Man Homecoming into this, into how he's so dependent and looks up to Tony Stark, and the little screen time that these guys shared together in the actual movie and the way they put that across, I think it was pretty good.
Once again, rendered all of Spider-Man Homecoming worthless. In Spider-Man Homecoming, he decides to be friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Then he just sneaks onto this spaceship and Tony just goes, I guess you're an Avenger now. I hate it when they do that with sequels. Why does they keep doing that with
this film? What did you want Tony to do?
But why don't the directors consult each other and make like a cohesive story? They already have these films planned like years and years in advance.
I don't understand your gripe about the Spider-Man thing.
Spider-Man Homecoming ended with Peter making the big decision of remaining friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Turning down being an Avenger, wanted to stay in the neighborhood, be small, go to school. And now what did he do?
But you...
Sneaked onto the spaceship.
What you also need to understand about, which is very evident in Homecoming about Spider-Man's character, is that obviously when there's danger at that scale looming, he has to do whatever he can do to help stop it. So you don't expect him to see that spaceship and be like, oh, I'm going to be the kid going to school and not jump in and try to help out here.
No, he jumped onto the spaceship, then Tony put him into the Iron Spider suit, then deployed the parachute, and then somehow Spider-Man stayed on the spaceship against Tony's will.
Against Tony's will is all throughout Spider-Man Homecoming again. It's not like he's listening to Tony Stark the entire time.
Yeah, so in the end, Tony wants him to be an Avenger. He goes against the will. You know what I'm saying? It just rendered the finale
useless.
You're
just saying anything. That the whole Spider-Man point is moot because he's doing whatever he thinks he should be doing to help out.
You will defend anything in this movie. I'm realizing this. You're just a pleb. This is exactly why the movie made so much money, because of people like you. You're a fanboy. Can't get over it. It's pointless arguing with you. I'm ready to end it right here. Except, we have to talk about the ending. Oh my god, all these heroes are dead. People freaked out in the theater. I mean, I didn't feel anything.
No one freaked out.
Okay, then the internet freaked out about how many people were
dead.
Internet
freaks out about everything. They freak out about a little cat jumping.
How like, oh, now the Avengers are like, the OG Avengers are most of the crew that's left. And some random people like Mantis, etc.
I don't know why you keep talking about that. We've already discussed this. I didn't mind that at all. And the fact that these guys are coming back in the future movies, that's obviously no secret that these Marvel guys are trying to hide. So just to show you that Thanos' finger snap worked, right? Like, and that actually had the desired effect that Thanos wanted it to have. And it just, that's all it went to show. And the way they took off these interesting characters like Black Panther and Peter Quill and Spider-Man going and he's like, I don't want to go. I loved all of that.
Heart-wrenching, I'm sure you found it.
Not heart-wrenching, but yeah, it was touching, definitely.
I think the best one was obviously Samuel L. Jackson going away. Mother, and then he drops and it's the Captain Marvel. And it's the Captain Marvel symbol.
Yeah, perfect segue to, yeah, new character coming up, guys. Wait and watch.
One reviewer said that when that happened, he wasn't mourning for the superheroes. He was mourning at the graveside of cinema. And I must say, I agree. This movie was way over the top. It was Fast and the Mission Avengers Part 19. And I really hope Marvel doesn't continue in this direction, man. Like, they have my money. I'm going to watch Avengers 4. They ended this movie on a cliffhanger. Two-parter movies always make money. And it's always because of this. It's because Part 1 is never satisfying and it leaves you wanting more. This was basically like the Deathly Hallows Part 1 and the Hunger Games Part 3 and the Twilight, whatever that one was. It's a Part 1, didn't work, doesn't work as a standalone movie. It's basically Part 1 of a season finale.
of a TV show. You know what I'm worried about? I dislike most of the 19 or 20 Marvel movies that have been out there. At least 17 of them. I can easily say that I really do not like them at all. What I'm worried about is what these guys have created with this movie. They've peaked. I don't see any way of topping what they've done here. And that's what I'm worried about, that this is going to maybe start the decline of the MCU as it is. Because Avengers Part 2 cannot be better than this movie. No movie that they come out with can be better than this movie.
And calm the hell down.
I'm serious, dude.
They have not peaked.
They have. I don't see how it gets better than this.
They could just improve this movie by adding Hawkeye. Where was Hawkeye?
I'm so glad Hawkeye wasn't
in this movie. I missed Hawkeye.
You missed Hawkeye.
Yeah, and Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, yeah. I like Ant-Man. I like Paul Rudd as an actor as well. But Hawkeye, dude.
Hawkeye's been like, great.
He's the most whatever character in the entire MCU.
No, in Age of Ultron, he ends up actually adding the groundingness, if that's a word,
whatever,
to the movie.
That all, everything. He's the most whatever character, literally, in these movies.
This movie was like watching Dragon Ball Z with superheroes. That's it. It's an action movie with action scenes that makes very little sense. And I love Fast and the Furious, but that doesn't mean it should be on the IMDb Top 250. And it doesn't mean that Fast and the Furious 19 will be good, which is what this movie was.
Okay, Mr. Fast and the Furious Mission Impossible, shut the hell up about all of that. Which movie do you think can replace this movie in the IMDb Top 250?
You know, I actually haven't come prepared with this answer today. And it's very easy for me to say Civil War and Winter Soldier, maybe even other MCU movies. Obviously, Watchmen, as we discussed. But since often we like to name movies that have similar names, without even watching this movie, I will suggest that Avengers Infinity War should be replaced.
You can't do that.
By the Ramanujan movie called The Man Who Knew Infinity.
You can't do that. You can't just replace a movie with a movie that you haven't seen.
Why not? There's no rule. Just like the Infinity Stones in this movie. Plus it has the guy from Slumdog Millionaire. How bad could it be? It's about Ramanujan. It's probably awesome.
Okay,
whatever. And a better candidate than Infinity War for the IMDb.
Even though you've never seen it.
Even though I've never seen it.
That's just weak, man. That's just really weak.
Just like the characters in this movie. I could do this all day, but yeah. I think it's...
I'm getting tired, dude.
To quote Thanos, yeah, I am too. And to quote Thanos, or to paraphrase Thanos, this feud has taken its toll. So why don't we end it here?
So that was this week's episode of Film Feud. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Avengers Infinity War. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening as always, guys. And now, we feuded, you decide. Don't forget to vote and let us know who you think won the feud. You can vote on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can follow us at Film Feud Pod. Please subscribe on iTunes and don't forget to leave us a rating and a review there. And also, let us know which movie you'd like us to feud next.
You can also find out more on munchermedia.com.
Catch you guys next week.
Bye-bye.